Just Marina, actually, sir. Yes, I was dreaming of a white sheer, like the shearing I used to know. But that bit of the plan didn't quite work out, even though I thought if we planned this for mid-January, we might get some snow. But still, I thought I've decided for once to talk about something cool, and I will therefore speak about snow. Snow is mentioned only twice in the Torah itself, both as a sort of metaphor to describe the tsaras which Moshe Rabbeinu had on his hand in Shemos Perek Dalet, and also Miriam had in Bamidbar. But there are a few mentions of it in Nach. Hanosen Sheleg Katsomer, we say in Tehillim, Kuf Mem Zayin, we say on Shabbos mornings. The Chiddush Arim says that the weather is only as severe as we can stomach it, as much as our woolly clothes can take it. Just like we sing in the Eishes Chayil, Lo Sirov Mi Beis HaMisholeg, from Mishlei. She doesn't fear the snow of the house because all the household are nicely clothed in scarlet wool. But perhaps the main message which comes from snow is from Yeshaya. Yeshaya in the first perek, L'chumor v'l'chol yama Hashem, come now, let's reason, Hashem says. Im yuchatoichem kashonim kasheleg yalbinu. If your sins are like scarlet, they'll become white as snow. And snow is associated with a colour of purity. I was trying to work out what's the significance of snow having the number 3 throughout its word. Shin Lamed Gimel Sheleg. Shin is 300, Lamed is 30, Gimel is 3. It's the fact that snowflakes are all hexagonal in their shape. They are all six-sided. All snowflakes have different patterns, which is something we'll come to later. But the number 6 isn't the number 3, although it's twice 3. I did find in the Sefer Shmiras HaGuf HaNefesh, he brings down a number of sources, including the Likutei HaMaarich, that the mysticals believe that if you dab snow on your forehead 3 times, it will help you not to forget your learning. Snow has the same gematria as shikcha, forgetfulness. And there is even one source which says the skalgel basheleg, that you actually roll in the snow. There's the Pri Eitz Chaim, there's the Mishnas Chassidim, there's the Sefer Zechira. Anyway, what we're going to do now is look at the first handout you've got, which is from the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. This is the first Midrashic text which ever came out, although it doesn't seem to be so well known. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus writes, and he writes a lot about the Brios HaOlam. And if we look there at the first page, we'll start with the right-hand side, 4 lines from the bottom, where it says the third word, Shomayim. Shomayim me'eze mokum nivo. From where did Hashem create the heavens? He answers, me'ol levusha shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu shu lovush. From the light which comes from what Hashem Yisborach was wearing. Lokach mimenu uforas kasalmo. Sort of cloak Hashem took and spread it out. V'hoyu moschim and stretched it. V'holchin ad shom alohem dai. And until he said, that's enough, Al-Kain Nikra Shemo Shakai. That's why Hashem's name is Shakai. Omar la-Shemayim Dai va-Omadu, because he said to the Shemayim, that's enough, and it stood still. U-Minayin Shemeo Levusha Nivra. How do we know that the heavens were created from the light of his cloak? Shemema, as it says, O-Te'o Kasalma No-Te Shemayim Ka-Yir-Rio Tehillim. And then comes our main bit, Ha'oretz me'ezamakom nivres, from where was the earth created? Mishelek, from snow. Shetachas kisei hakovod, which was underneath Hashem's throne. Lokach, Hashem took this snow, v'zorak al hamayim, he threw it on water, v'nikbu hamayim, and the water hardened, v'nasa afar ha'oretz, and that made the earth of the planet. The soil of the earth, Shenema, as it says, Kilasheleg Yomar Havei Oretz. This is from Eov. He says to the snow, be upon the ground. So who would have thought that the actual Bereas HaOlam of this planet came as a result of snow from underneath Hashem's throne. So you might ask, why does Hashem choose snow with which to create the world? Well, we could say a simple answer, that snow is the color of purity. The purpose of the world in its creation is to do the mitzvahs, bechira is free will, and that with that we should be pure and as white as snow, kasheleg yalbinu. But we will come back to that question later, time permitting. The explanation given by the Radal, Rav David Luria, born in 1798, who wrote a perush on the Zohar. Rav David Luria wrote a perush on the Zohar, and he writes on this, quotes various pasukim, like Hashemayim kisi v'oretz hadam ragloi. So the idea of the oretz is that the underneath the throne relates to the feet, hence the snow. So he says, just like snow is white, and when it melts, its water is dirty, so we are created Lebonos, white, the Tuvei Mara, and nicely looking, with the soap, but at the end, we just return Ela Ofor to the dust. He also actually points out that snow has six corners, or six sides, as you'll see from these illustrations which are going round. The snowflake is always, almost always, hexagonal. I'm going to leave it to the scientists to explain why. But as a metzius, since snow has the feature of the number six, so the whole Maaseh Bereishis has the feature of the number six. The world was created in 6 days, and there are six chukos, he says, in the concept of growth. Zerah v'kotzir, as the pasuk says in Parshas Noach, Kor v'chom, kaitz v'charef, v'layla v'yom, lo yishbosu. There are six features, and Rashi there says 2 months each, and that's the year's cycle of Zerah v'kotzir. So the whole Bria is continuous with the number six. And this is manifested in the idea that the world was created with snow. This pasuk, which we quoted from Eov, interestingly, is used in a debate between the Rishonim, that the world has this feature of snow. And if we look at the second handout, you will come to a piece of the Mordechai, a Rishon who gives his commentary in the 6th chapter of Gemara Chulin. And there he's talking about the mitzvah of Kisoy Hadam. It's a mitzvah to cover the blood of an animal which has been shechted. So the shaila is, you are obviously supposed to use offer, soil from the ground, to cover the blood. Can you use snow? That's the shaila. So if you look at the main column there at the top with a large print, at the first line, there's an aleph with a bracket and an asterisk. Omer Hagon, Hagon, the Vilna Gaon, Shemachasim B'Shelek, he says you can cover the blood with snow. Shenema, as it says in the Pasuk, Ki LaShelek Yama Havei Oretz. That Pasuk which we've quoted from Eov. And Hashem says the snow cover the ground. Yamachasim B'Shias Barzel. So he also talks about ground up Barzel because of another Pasuk. We won't get involved in that. So if you look on the right hand side in the smaller print, in the square brackets, Omer Hagon, Kosov Beis Yosef. So the Beis Yosef who wrote the Shulchan Aruch says, the Divrei Teimohein, this is amazing. Zolokasiv ki la sheleg yema offer. It doesn't say in the Pasuk that from sheleg you have offer. It says oretz, manon offer bo'inon. And surely you need offer, because the Pasuk which talks about Kis Ha'adam talks about offer. You need offer, kedichsiv b'kro, but offer. The local makro shasheleg he nikro eretz. Ela shehashem yisparach matzaneh. Hashem yisparach commands the omer lasheleg sheyered v'yeh ba'aretz, that it should descend and come down on the ground. The chayin ayu b'barzel, and so also with this ground up barzel, etc. So he disputes this. If we look at the bottom of the page, you'll see what is enlarged, because it's always in terribly small print. The chidushay anshei shem. And in the first bit, if you look at the end of the third line, Kosel Arav Beis Yosef, the Divrei Teimohem, the Halo Kesiv Ki Lasheleg Yema Ave Ofer. He repeats these words of the Beis Yosef. He doesn't say in the Pasuk the sheleg is ofer, v'amon ofer b'inon, v'od lo koma krosh ha-sheleg hu nikra oretz. It doesn't say that the sheleg is actually to the earth, ela she'ashem yisborach metzaveh, v'omel ha-sheleg, he commands it, she'yered v'yeh b'oretz, that it descends. U'paleo, he says, that's now on the first line of the very last lot on this page. I find this amazing. Surely he should have known what was darshaned in the Pirkei of Rabbi Eliezer, which we quoted on our first handout. Because it's an actual posuk. That the world was actually created from snow underneath the throne. So that must have been in the mind of the Gaon who said that you can cover the blood with snow, kivin shemisham nivra, how they come off of, because the world was created from it, therefore it's like offer. And similarly, in the same with the gezohol, if you have ground up gold. So that is the debate. Sorry? Kafog, yeah. And no such shela katsoma, yeah, is like offer. Thanks. Yeah. Although there's a more practical point which is brought by the Ozarua. The Ozarua says, well, it's all very well covering up with snow, but then the snow melts. And the snow melts, it just mixes with the blood, and the blood is not properly covered. Which is perhaps a very straightforward and balabatish way of explaining why you can't use snow for this purpose. Okay, that's the Arzarei Chelek Aleph Siman Shin Sadivov. The Mahariv writes that when Eov talks about Hashem creating the world from snow, that's a nes. That's something which is not b'derech ha-teva. But for us, b'derech ha-teva, the snow should be treated like water. Well, that's kisui ha-dam. Interestingly, there's the subject of tumah and tahara, even though it's not practical nowadays. There's an interesting message brought in Gemara Nida Daf Yud Zayin, which was done by some of you recently in the Daf Yomi. It asks the question, is snow ochel or mashke? Food or drink? Or is it a solid or a liquid? Okay, as a scientist will say, it's like a solidified form of liquid. But for purposes of tumah v'tahara, what's the din? So the Gemara there says, nitmo miktsoso lo nitma kulo. If part of it is made tomei, it's not all made tomei. So you've got a huge snow blanket over Hampstead Heath, and a part of it is made tomei by a sheretz, does it all become tomei? So the Gemara there says no. So Rashi says there in the Gemara in Nida, de eino chibur, because it's not properly joined up together. Elokol peret b'fnei atzmo choshuv. Every snowflake is an entity of its own. The eino tomei elamokem megatuma. So it only becomes tomei in the place where the sheretz was touching. That's the view of the Gemara, that's the view of Rashi. So if that's the case, not in Ashoka, it's not compressed.
Well, ice.
So,
pardon? You've got an ice lake.
Right, well, I'm now coming to the subject of mikveh. Because now we can ask the din, what is the din with mikveh? If one snowflake is not regarded as touching another snowflake for purposes of tumah, can you have a mikveh of snow? Now, there's a famous Mishnah in Nikvoros, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Aleph, which is often learned at Shivas, Chamon and Islam, dinim of mikveh, that a 3 log of snow can make up a mikveh to complete its measurement of 40 sol. What if you want to have a whole mikveh of snow without repercussions of hypothermia and the possible side effects? What's the din if you have 40 sol of snow? So there is, in fact, it is in fact written, written in the Mishnah in Mikvos, Tzu ve'viru shelig ve'osu mikveh b'tchila, not just to make up, to complete the 40 sol of snow, but to make an actual mikveh of snow. And according to the Rosh, you can have 40 sol of snow for a mikveh, but he says 40 sol is not the 40 sol of the snow, it's got to be the equivalent of the 40 sol of water. Because when the snow melts, you'll have 10% less volume. And therefore, it won't be kosher, it'll only be 30 sol, whatever it is. So therefore, you need more than 40 sol of snow to give you a kosher mikveh of snow. Ravad disagrees. He says you can't make a mikveh out of snow. The Mordechai writes at the end of the fourth parak of Shabbos, he says it happened once that a man forced his wife to dip in snow in the form of a mikveh. I can't understand where the marriage guidance was and how a man would do this, but he forced his wife to dip in the snow. which was not melted, and it had more than 40 sa'. And he paskens there that it was kosher, a kosher bit, even though I don't know about forcing the wife to bit whether that would make it kosher, but that's where he paskens. But then afterwards he's chozer, he changes his mind. Why does he change his mind? Not because of Shalom Bias.
He got cold feet.
He got cold feet. Maybe, maybe his ulterior motives of putting in that mikveh was just to get rid of her. I don't know. But
it's just a matter because with her mikveh,
yes.
The thing that we're most worried about is that she knows chazitzas. And so you've got to be in full contact with the water. Now, if you're going to bring up snow, it's unlikely going to be in touch with all parts of the body. Like, water will find all the areas, snow won't.
Right, well, there are posthumous. Speak about this, that you'll get the air gaps. We'll come to that. But as far as the Ikar Locher is concerned, the Mordechai then changes his mind and he says it's impossible for all the snow to touch the flesh. All the 40 saw to touch the flesh. And on that, which would go along with what you're saying about the air gaps, but on that the Beis Yosef argues. The Beis Yosef in Yeredeah, Simon Reish Aleph, and he was the one who wrote the Shulchan Aruch, he says, why should the Mordechai say that it's impossible for all the 40 saw to touch the flesh? What's the big deal? There's no halacha which says that all the 40 saw of water have to touch the flesh when you're dipping in a mikveh. So the answer which the Mordechai would give to that is, ah yes, but do we say, like we learned from the Dinim of Tumah and Tahara, do we say that when one snowflake touches another, it's all connected as one entity, or do we say they're all separate entities? Because if you're going to say that the snowflakes are separate entities and there are air gaps in between each snowflake, then that in itself might not legitimize having a kosher mikveh. The Marcheshes writes on this. He says that when you've got one snowflake touching another, like with the Dinam of Tumah, and therefore you have got air gaps in between, therefore those snowflakes which have air gaps, which are not immediately touching the ground, are like snow in the air, and you can't dip in a mikveh in the air. You have to dip in a mikveh which is in the ground. And therefore, according to him, that's why it's not a kosher mikveh, according to the Mordechai. But then how do you explain this Marcheshes according to the Rosh, who says that a mikveh is kosher? The Rosh holds that you can dip in a mikveh of snow, complete snow. Anyway, the Gemara in Nidai Tumah talks about if you have the enclosed snow, and the Sheretz is like in a tanur, and you have all enclosed, then the whole lot becomes tummy. So you might say that the mikveh is more like an enclosed area. Okay. But the fact of the matter is that if you have snow of 40 saw, you can dip your hands in it for the purposes of the Tilas Yodayim. Mishnah Berurah says, well, it's better to have ordinary water and to use water with the Revius. But the Revius of snow is not good enough. You need 40 saw, and then you dip your hands into the snow, that will count as Netilas Yadayim. So you can say, according to those who hold that a mikveh of snow is no good, they nevertheless allow the Netilas Yadayim. This is the Shach. So the Shach says, Netilas Yadayim is a din d'rabbanan. A din d'rabbanan, we're happy to be a bit more lenient. But mikveh is on an issur kares, to get rid of the status of nidah. And so the Shabbos and Shuvahs of the Chasam Sofer and Yeredeah, Simon Reish holds that we are not going to have a Sofet Issur Kares. We're not going to play around between a Machlokas Rishonim about whether a snow mikveh is kosher. We will act on the safe side. And therefore we do not use a snow mikveh for the purposes of mikveh for a woman. Maybe for a man it's good enough. All this, notwithstanding the fact that the Shulchan Aruch paskens in Siman Reish that a mikveh made of snow is kosher. There are some other instances in halacha where the subject of snow comes up. Masechta Arlos, which deals also with a kind of tumah. What is an ohel and what isn't? So there it says in Perikhes Mishnah Hay that you do not become tumay in terms of ohel with shaleg, with snow. Why? The fishain nimuchim, because it melts. The ainon miskayim, it's not something which is miskayim. And since it doesn't last, says the Baal Tanura, you can't become tummy from the oil of snow. This din of Miskayin you can equally apply to din of Shabbos. I haven't given a handout on the subject of Shabbos, but it comes up in Siman Shin Kaf, Hilchos Shabbos, various dinim relating to snow. Eimer Askin Osom. You may not liquidize snow on Shabbos in order to actively to drink it or whatever, to break it up, but you can let it melt on its own. The poskim avoid suggesting that there is a din of nolad when you have melted snow. It's okay to drink it. Although, clearly you're not going to make ice, for example, on Shabbos to put the water in the freezer. If snow melts, it's going to melt in any case on its own, so we don't give it a din of nolad. So you're allowed to leave it lying, say, in the sun or near to an oven, let it melt, and then you can drink it. There is an opinion from the Rishonim brought from the Rambam also that it's to teach people a lesson that if you're not going to liquidize your snow, then people won't come to liquidize their fruit because there is a din about squeezing fruit. So even though the liquidizing of snow is not as bad as liquidizing fruit, we will make a gezeira for that reason as well, and therefore you won't liquidize it. Now you had this past round, and one of my favourite secular books, and it shows how the pattern of snowflakes is remarkable in that every single snowflake has its own shape. And as I said, I'm not going to be the scientist to explain the rationale why, but it brings us back to this Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. Why is it that Hashem created the world with snow from under the Kisei HaKavod? And we started off talking about the idea of we should be pure and white like snow, kasher legalbinu. But there are a couple of other ideas which we can draw from this. Because we haven't really answered yet what's the individuality of every single snowflake being different. These photographs are actual photos. Alright, it's complicated to take them because you need a microscope and you need the right temperature. But the fact of the matter is that there is this feature which is not readily discernible when you see snow descending. The lesson which we draw from this is that when Hashem created the world, He created it with purposeful design, and that design is not always readily noticeable. We walk in the streets and we see the wonders of nature around us and we take them for granted. And you've got people who talk about chaos and evolution and goodness knows what else and try to deny the existence of an intelligent design. So the message which comes from snow when Hashem creates the world is when the snow descends, you might not recognize anything really special about it. But once you put it under the microscope and you see each individual snowflake has an intelligent design, it will give you an appreciation of the Ma'aseh Briah. And the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah that the way to come to love Hashem is to study the Briah, is to study creation. And that way you come not only to appreciate Him and respect Him and to fear Him, but also to love Him. But there's another idea which comes out from this. Hashem created the world in order to give the Torah. When did He give the Torah? He gave the Torah to us in the month of Sivan. Why didn't He give it to us in Nisan when we came out from Egypt? He gave it to us in Sivan. In Nisan, the sign of the zodiac of Nisan is the bull. Hashem didn't want us to be aggressive like bulls. And then came Iyar, and Iyar is the sign of the sheep. Hashem doesn't want us to be like sheep. If you hold out a stick and you've got sheep coming along, the sheep jump over the stick. If you take the stick away, the sheep carry on jumping, the ones which follow, because they're just copying the ones in front of them. Hashem doesn't want us to be like sheep. Hashem wants us to be individualists. So He gives the Torah in the month of Sivan. The Sivan are the twins of the Gemini. What's the idea of the twins? They look similar, they're born together, they have similar features, but they're individualists. They've each got their own different talents and abilities. So when you look at snowflakes with which He created the world, He created the hexagon. They're all similar in a certain way, But they are all completely different. So every single person in the world has a different DNA, different kinds of features, different appearance, different voice, different everything. We're all different, and we all have different abilities and different talents. So when the Muslims say, one comes up to the next world, one isn't asked, why weren't you like Moshe Rabbeinu? You're not asked, why weren't you like Aaron HaKohen? You're not asked, why weren't you Reb Moshe Feinstein? You're asked, why weren't you yourself? The biggest punishment that a person gets is that he has shown what he could have been with his own individual talent. And it's for each person to recognize that he or she has their own individual talents. As individualists, they can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is a message brought to us when Hashem creates the world out of snow. He is giving the message that all the people in the world are similar in maybe their structural, biological form, but each individual person has his own pattern, his own design, and his own abilities, and his own talents to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you.